From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is expounding the meaning of the first commandment, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. As Dr. Cairns has already explained, the underlying truth of this commandment is the essential dignity of Jehovah. He alone is God, and there are no others. This is the basis of the Bible's condemnation of idolatry. God commands the worship of all men, yet in their sin and rebellion, multitudes seek to worship and serve everything but God. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 22. Salt without prescribing how much. Salt was used in every offering made by fire unto the Lord, and from its preserving and purifying properties, it was the grateful emblem of divine grace in the soul. It is worthy of our attentive regard that when Artaxerxes gave salt to Ezra the priest, he set no limit to the quantity. And we may be quite certain that when the King of Kings distributes grace among his royal priesthood, the supply is not cut short by him. Often we are straitened in ourselves, but never in the Lord. He who chooses to gather much manna will find that he may have as much as he desires. There is no famine in Jerusalem, that the citizens should eat their bread by weight and drink their water by measure. Some things in the economy of grace are measured. For instance, our vinegar and gall are given us with such exactness that we never have a single drop too much. But of the salt of grace no stint is made. Ask what thou wilt, and it shall be given unto thee. Parents need to lock up the fruit cupboard and the sweet jars, but there is no need to keep the salt box under lock and key, for few children will eat too greedily from that. A man may have too much money or too much honor, but he cannot have too much grace. When Jeshurun waxed fat in the flesh, he kicked against God. But there is no fear of a man's becoming too full of grace. A plethora of grace is impossible. More wealth brings more care, but more grace brings more joy. Increased wisdom is increased sorrow, but abundance of the Spirit is fullness of joy. Believer, go to the throne for a large supply of heavenly salt. It will season thine afflictions, which are unsavory without salt. It will preserve thy heart, which corrupts if salt be absent. And it will kill thy sins, even as salt kills reptiles. Thou needest much, seek much, and have much.
Thank you.
is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Oh, holy child of heaven. In Isaiah 45 and 11, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and thy Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me, or ye may command me." So the Lord says, I'm God. If you believe I'm God, pray. If you believe I'm your God, call upon me. We must pray. We must praise Him, giving thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And obviously, we must obey Him, for to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So this is the whole duty of man. What doth the Lord require of thee? This is what He requires of thee, to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. But you know what was said about the foreigners whom the king of Assyria planted in Samaria is all too true of mankind generally. There's a terrible statement in 2 Kings 17 and 29. Every nation made gods of their own. The duty of man is clear, but every nation made gods of their own, and men are still busy in that same pursuit. Idolatry is rampant. Old-fashioned idolatry is abounding on every hand. Not only in foreign countries, but here in the United States of America, you have heathen temples. You have heathen gods. All around you in every great city of America, old-fashioned heathenism is seen. And then on top of that, we now have the worship of man and his scientific and technological accomplishments. Men call this secular humanism. They call it atheism, but in reality, it is idolatry. Then we have the yuppie religion of earth worship. We have these who are forever talking about Mother Earth. They even have the old Greek name for her now, taken from the Greek word for earth. And that was the name of the old Greek goddess of the mother of all living. We hear it on television, we see it in the newspaper, it's on people's lips, the worship of Mother Earth. Then some of the so-called Christian, far from Christian, but it's the name they take, Christian feminists worship the goddess Sophia. Like they had a big conference not too long ago, at which they announced to the world their rejection of the God of the Bible, their rejection of the Christ of the Bible, and their embracing of this goddess Sophia. They announced that to the world, mostly with the help of a huge contribution from the Presbyterian Church, USA. Idolatry on every hand. So pervasive is this idolatry. When you think of the Church of John Knox, the Church of Scotland, in 1993, there was a motion before its General Assembly to reaffirm to the world that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And that motion was defeated by over 400 votes to about 300 in the General Assembly of the Scottish Presbyterian Church. Idolatry on every hand. But then there are many other idols. Idols that are so popular that they're welcomed even in church. And I'm not talking merely about the little statues of Mary and the non-existent Saint Christopher. I'm talking about the things that are welcomed in our own churches, in our own homes, and in our own hearts. I'm talking about things that will brand every man and woman in this meeting tonight an idolater by nature. What does the Bible say? Colossians 3:5, covetousness is idolatry. That's God's interpretation of idol worship. Covetousness is idolatry. Where is the man then who can hold up his head and say, I am not an idolater? Samuel tells us in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. A stubborn pursuit of our own way, a stubborn rejection of the wisdom, word, and leading of God. God says, when you stubbornly set your face for your own will in defiance of the will of God, that is idolatry. Paul mentions sensuality. Philippians 3:19. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What a description of idolatry. Minding earthly things. Glorying in shameful things. Paul writes of things that ought not even to be mentioned among the people of God. He talks about things that are too shameful even to soil the lips of the people of God. We live in such a sensuous age that sensuality is accepted in every hand. People dress sensually, walk sensually, talk sensually. Vile and filthy conversation defiles their lips. God not only says that is a breach of the later commandments about morality, but he said that is an attack on the very being of God. It's a breach of the first commandment. It is idolatry. I think you could make a very good case, therefore, from Scripture, that ungodliness is essentially idolatry. Is it not idol worship? Is it not idolatry? Deliberately to ignore God and His Word? Deliberately to neglect the God of Scripture? Is it not idolatry that would let some who even come to a church like this and sit from week to week, participate in the service, sing the hymns, bow their heads to pray, etc., but that will allow them to resist the workings of the Spirit of God and reject the Lord Jesus Christ because of some trivial thing in the world, because of their attachment to something of the flesh or the world? What is this? It is idolatry. And what shall we say of those who have a hypocritical pretense to worship? What shall we say of those whose outward demeanor professes that they acknowledge Christ, that they worship God according to His Son, but all the time they know Him not? Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth near to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. One old preacher put it this way. He said, the hypocrite calls on God to be an accomplice and a partaker with him in his crimes. What an idolatrous and wicked sin it is to put up a pretense. Oh, you pass as a Christian. You pass as a godly young man or young woman. But all the time of a heart of rebellion against God and rejection against His Son, you bow your head, you say your prayers, you read the Bible, you would make the very God of heaven an accomplice in your crime. This is idolatry. Such sins are heinous enough in themselves, but according to our text, they are committed in the very face of God. He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," literally, before my face or in my presence. Every sin is committed in the Lord's face, under the Lord's eye, but especially this sin of idolatry. Idol worship, all this great catalogue of crime and sin and wickedness is not only not hid from God, but it is committed right in His face. That's why He says in Jeremiah 7 verse 9, "Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations?" Let's stop there. Will you do that? Do you think you can get away with that? To set up idolatry? Be it covetousness, stubbornness, hypocrisy, or other ungodliness, that you can set up idolatry and then you can come into God's presence and think because you do so, because you bow before Him and you join in the congregational worship, that somehow or other that will make your idolatry all right with God? He says, "Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." Here is the duty of man, and it condemns every one of us by nature and by practice as an idolater and a criminal at the bar of God. Will you not tremble to break the first of these great commandments? This commandment exposes sin, and it calls you, as the Thessalonians did, to turn from idols to serve the living and the true God. And therefore, it holds out a message of hope.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.